Hello, and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday at noon, Friday at 6, to explore questions large and small. And I can do that thanks to Windermere Vachon Real Estate, who supports all our community information programming, and they make our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVachon.com. This is the voice of Vachon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vachon Island, Washington. Well, folks, fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, and an island of trash in the Pacific Ocean. Climate change is upon us, and some disaster officials are telling us the bill has come due. Other folks say we have up to 12 years to mitigate the impacts of climate change, and more people are seizing the opportunity with innovation, creativity, and they're even making it work with capitalistic profit. I am privileged to have a few of those folks with me today in the studio on Real Talk. They are Jan Allen, president and founder of Impact Bioenergy. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Shirup Kumar, community engagement officer for Impact Bioenergy. Welcome, Shirup.
Thank you, Susan.
And Gib Damon, president of Zero Waste Vachon. Welcome, Gib.
Thanks for having us.
And I should actually say welcome back, because last year you were here to tell me that you are going to put a biodigester on Vachon Island. This year, that project is a reality. So now we want to know how this biodigester works. Most of all, how can this device help us to mitigate the impacts of climate change, Jan?
Well, thanks, Susan. What's really exciting about this is we're doing something on Vachon Island that is... really is a model for, I don't know, countless communities. This is the right place and the right time. And what we can do with this one technology is we can positively touch on energy, water, air, soil, food, jobs, and education all at the same time. And in practical terms, that means less diesel fuel, less trucking, less waste. It's remarkable that you can take something so simple as food waste and make fertilizer and fuel with no waste at all.
Tell us more about that. How will that work? How does this biodigester do that?
It's an ancient technology. It's all through Asia. We use it at dairy farmers use it. What we have done is miniaturized it. So it's a portable, we build them in King County in Auburn. It's a prefab portable machine. Vachon is really noteworthy because the state gave us some support to build the largest portable unit we could. And it's here on this island. And this is the first in the country, first in North America.
That's impressive.
It is impressive, and it's exciting, and we get to do it right here, and it's biomimicry. What we're doing is replicating what animals do. We made a machine that functions like a horse or a cow or any other mammal.
So it sounds to me like it's a gigantic stomach.
It is, but it's four stomachs. It is like a cow, and it burps, and it makes manure, and it's less problematic than real cows because it doesn't get sick, and you know, you don't have to inoculate it, you don't have to give it hormones. And
so what sort of energy does this biodigester use to do its job?
It uses electricity, and we typically have a host. In this case, we're hosting at Island Spring Organics. We're being hosted by them. Mm-hmm. And they were interested because they have a waste product from the tofu manufacturing, and they give us some of their electricity to run our pumps and our heaters, and then we chose to make renewable natural gas in a refined state, almost as to the specification that Puget Sound Energy has for the natural gas grid.
So we're the natural gas that they'll be pulling out of the earth. Is that
well? That this is. Renewable natural gas. It's right. The same chemistry, but it's not fossil fuel. so we can displace fossil fuel natural gas with our natural gas, which is a green natural gas. And it, but it's the same chemically. And we can fuel vehicles. We can fuel the little propane cylinders that people use for barbecues and forklifts and stuff. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So let's get into a little more detail, because apparently right now the Vashon biodigester is only using waste from the tofu factory. Is that right?
Initially, that's right.
And at what point is it now? Is it creating natural gas now? Or what exactly is it doing?
We're going to be commissioning, actually flipping the switches and starting in the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll, because it's a biological system, we'll have to cultivate it and build it up over a period of weeks. So this summer it should be running full speed. The only reason we're only serving Island Spring right now is because they're our host and they have a substantial amount of byproduct. But frankly, the island could use three of our plants, I think.
Well, that's one of the big questions in my mind, because I've often thought of Vashon Island as the perfect laboratory for a variety of climate and social experiments. So, Shurup, you're the community engagement officer for Impact Bioenergy. How are you working with the community to incorporate what the biodigester creates into what the community needs to operate?
It's a great question. I think it's all about cooperating together to find out what that system looks like. So we've been working with Zero Waste Vashon for 4-5 years now on, you know, getting out into the educational arena with school districts, understanding what the businesses have as alternatives with this rich resource, really. So understanding how we can now scale up the process, potentially produce materials for farmers, really, this is a call to action now for farmers and fleets on island. And so this is, in the end, about energy and food independence. And so to get there, it's really going to take cooperating with the food systems and energy systems on island over a period of, say, 12 months as we demonstrate this starting this summer. Understanding the value of these co-products. So if you look at a ton of material, it turns out instead of paying $200 to $300 to manage and export that material, we can actually turn it into $200 to $300 in value. So it's about demonstrating that value, really, is where we're at now.
So when you say managing and exporting that material, you're talking about waste from the tofu factory. At what point are you going to be able to collect waste from residential use?
Yeah, the lens is within all, you know, businesses and residential, but at first it's really non-residential generators that, you know, have so much more of this material concentrated around the island.
We had to start somewhere.
And, right.
And like most new innovations, you need an early adopter of some kind. And Island Spring was a perfect partner for that. So, but, and maybe Gib can talk about this a little bit, is King County has been watching us very closely. They, and in a good way, and they've actually been quite supportive because it seems like Vashon is almost a living laboratory for the rest of King County in the waste business. So, and it's partly because it's more expensive. You have to put it on the ferry and,
Yeah.
They don't charge Vashon more per pound or per ton, but it costs them more. So, Gib, you should probably add to that a little
bit. Yeah, what do you see as the future of the biodigester with Vashon?
Well, in the extremely large picture, we see Vashon as being 11,000 people, the perfect petri dish. And to that end, we would like to take our organics, our organic waste, and treat it on island and turn it into energy, because it's really a transference of energy. And it's also in a larger way, it's exercising reuse. And so what resources do we now call waste? We call it wastewater. Now, that seems absurd.
It seems like an oxymoron.
It does, doesn't it? And so, as a community representative, we are looking at how can we take that waste and turn it into a community resource. And we look at the solid waste and the liquid waste coming off of our island, and we see a tremendous potential. The potential to both integrate different systems, such as anaerobic digestion, with aerobic digestion, which is basic composting, okay? Aerobic digestion, exposed to air, compost. Anaerobic digestion is what happens in our stomachs, in that cow stomach that we were just talking about 5-10 minutes ago. The potential of potentially integrating those two systems. I think arguably food waste is best treated through an anaerobic digester.
That's for odor reasons and for because you can harvest energy from it.
Uh-huh. Really. Yes.
Is the same true of yard waste?
Yes. You can control odors, but you can't really produce. It's a lot more difficult, I can't think of anybody that's fermenting yard waste to make energy. But food waste is an easy feedstock to actually harvest energy.
Yard waste, wood waste is perfect feedstock for aerobic digestion, as in typical composting, like what we all do in our backyard. Mm-hmm. As we know, when we start adding that food waste, we not only attract rats, but actually what's happening is some of that, when it turns anaerobic, is producing methane gas. And we know that greenhouse gas is not good. We have the opportunity through an anaerobic digester of controlling that methane gas, turning it into renewable natural gas.
Yeah, that's what distinguishes digesters, is you actually get a commodity energy that comes out of it.
So when it comes down to it, when this biodigester has reached its dream limit, how will the community be interacting with it? How will we work with this?
Well, we're already talking to a number of partners. The Land Trust, Matsuda Farms, and then the school district. King County has an interest in this, of course. I'm forgetting some others, I'm sure, but there are so many potential partners or already our partners. And I think what's important today, if we're going to get any message across today, it's that this first one is going to produce fertilizer and energy and fuel. And we have to prove that it's, when you started the show today, you talked about a capitalist company that is trying to make a profit. We have to show that we can be financially sustainable by completing that economic loop of having the fertilizer and the soil amendments go back into the soil, and having people choose to buy a green natural gas instead of buying fossil fuel natural gas. And we have to make it available and then see if people will respond. And that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Yeah. Jan Allen of Impact Biodigest, Bioenergy. I understand you have done this in other locations. Are any of those other locations farther along in this process than Vashon?
There are a number of big regional systems like this, but they serve like a metropolitan area, and they might cost $30 million, they might cost $60 million. They're big plants.
To build or to operate?
To build. And then, because they're so big, they have to truck the fertilizer quite some distance because they situate them near urban areas. The two that I'm most familiar with are the one in Vancouver, BC, in the metro Vancouver area, and one in Orlando, situated at Disney World. So they're near the food waste. They're not near the soil where that digestate has to go back. So they have to truck that with diesel fuel.
So there's a collection location versus a distribution location.
Right. And it's so regional, it's so big that I came to an epiphany that you put that much rotten food in one place and it's really hard to control.
Huh.
So it's, you have to truck things. You're back to trucking. So what really was the basis of us starting this company was to aspire to use less trucks and less diesel fuel. And it's landfilling is one thing, but if you had any idea how much fuel and trucks it takes to move all this stuff around, it's scary. So it's just, there's a lot of waste moving around our communities that it's just, it's a congestion, it's an air emission, it's a fossil fuel issue. So,
can I say something about that?
Please. Give them.
What is unique with Impact Bioenergy's approach and Zero Waste Vashon's approach is we both believe that processing our waste can best be done in a community level. When you start looking at a system like Cedar Grove becoming our compost facility for 3.4 million people, as Jan says, right now we have a collection happening in our transfer station of green waste, wood waste, which yard waste, wood waste, which is taken to Cedar Grove, trucked there, and then our compost is trucked back. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Jan is talking about. But it's not just that. It's water. It's food. It's energy. It goes on and on and on.
So what we're trying to do, Susan, is manage all the resources within a 2-mile radius or 3-mile or 5-mile. It'd be successful in a 5 or 10 mile. But right now, our society does that over 150-mile radius. So this is really, when I worked at these other larger facilities, we would get calls all the time asking if we would do a small system. And the company I worked for said, no, we just don't want to do that. It's not a big enough transaction for us. Mm. So it just didn't fit their paradigm.
And the argument that it can best be done in the community level, we believe that we can educate 11,000 people to understand how to properly use, hopefully in our future, a 3-bin system. They will see the results, and they will see jobs located on the island, which are truly sustainable, truly renewable. And they can experience potentially cleaner air, cleaner water. If we clean up the water that's associated with the runoff on this island, which we argue we offer a little bit of a solution for, then hopefully that salmon is coming back stronger. And we, our orca whales, and we have more birds on and on and on.
And little Vashon can do that much.
Level. Yeah. Whether it's Vashon Island School District, we will see it at a community level, and we can take advantage of that.
And even humans. We just made our first hire on the island, so we can help the humans too.
Yes. Yes. There is a job at the biodigester. Yeah. So in your wildest dreams, when this cradle-to-grave system is working at its peak, can you quantify the mitigation, the climate change mitigation that it might have, like how many cars would you take out of the system with that perfect
operation? Yes, without getting too geeky about numbers, I can tell you, Germany had a national policy to build digesters, and they ended up building 8,000 or 9,000 digesters just in Germany. And if the U.S. would do that, we're never going to have a national energy policy, at least in my lifetime. But if we did, that would make, we'd have 30,000 digesters like ours, like Vashon, across the United States. And if you just look at college campuses, there's maybe 4,000 or 5,000 college campuses. Every one of them wants to be green. We're already working with University of Pittsburgh, University of San Diego, UC San Diego,
UW.
So we, if you just look at a couple things like small farms, campuses, corporate campuses, Microsoft put one in, in the Redmond campus. So
they did.
And you know, you normally don't think corporate America, they're always trying to save a buck, but they did, they saw a story that they wanted to tell and they have a sustainability report. So corporate America is, I got to say, I have some respect for them in cases like Microsoft because they are trying to tell the right story.
Well, is there not a return on investment argument that can be made?
Yeah, but it's not traditional accounting. It's like, well, what's our dumpster fee? Can you reduce our dumpster fee? But what about employee retention and employee recruiting and shareholder support? And there's so many audiences that a corporation has, and not the least of which is keeping and retaining employees because people care about this stuff. So but it's not normally on the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. They have to figure out a way to put it on the spreadsheet.
We call that quadruple bottom line.
Yeah.
People, planet, profit, and purpose.
Oh, that's great. And it seems to me, and maybe you've already thought about this, that that would be an idea that we need to start putting forth to corporate America in general, that there is a, say it again, Sharup.
Quadruple bottom line.
People, planet, profit,
and purpose.
And purpose that can begin to change the way we run our capitalist economy. For instance, tax incentives for doing the right thing rather than doing the consumptive thing, or ways to make planet-friendly products and systems a fad or something that consumers
want. We need to get integrated
demand.
Into the MBA curriculum. So MBAs will talk about this.
Yeah. So I'm sure you have other things to think about, but what are you doing in those directions?
Well, we have never proactively advertised or done anything. We don't go to trade shows or spend money on advertising, but we are on social media and every day we get inquiries every day for the last 4 years. So we're just answering the mail and it comes fast and furious, and college campuses are right in there. It's not so much the faculty, it's the students that inquire.
Because they're the ones who are going to be around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I am here talking with Jan Allen and Sharup Kumar of Impact Bioenergy and Gib Damon of Zero Waste Vashon about the biodigester currently and recently installed here on Vashon Island as a laboratory for cradle-to-grave management of waste.
All resources.
Maybe. Of all resources. Jan, you had some points you wanted to make, and we've got 6 minutes left to do it. What would you like people to know about the current position of the biodigester on Vashon Island and your hopes for the future?
So I guess that what I would like to leave as a message is that the individual does make a difference here. Each one of us is a consumer, and that comes with a certain amount of power and responsibility. So, you know, you read a lot of statistics about people do care about organic food. They do care about carbon footprint. Well, we're just basically rolling out the red carpet and saying, here's a chance to do something. And later this summer, we're going to be offering fertilizer. We're partnering with Gib and Zero Waste on how to make it available to folks. Is it going to be quart, gallon? Is it going to be growlers like you buy at the brewery where you can, you know, exchange, which I think is a possibility? Is it going to be bigger containers? But the idea is we have to have people come and put it back in the soil in their home gardens and their farms and actually use it instead of chemical fertilizer. Right. And then the same thing with energy, to actually use this instead of propane. And, we're going to sell it in the same kind of containers as propane.
That is really interesting. I didn't realize you could turn it into natural gas and replace propane.
That's
monumental.
Yeah, it is. And it's something that most digesters don't do. But we did find a way to do it here. And I think we're the first microscale digester that actually upgrades it to that quality.
Is it going to be possible at some point to use the products created by the biodigester to actually fuel conventional vehicles?
Yes, and that's what we would like to demonstrate this year.
How does that work?
Well, we just bought a little Toyota pickup truck. We should talk about that. That's a real example.
Talk about that.
So it's a little Toyota pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
We bought it on the island, kept it away from the scrap heap, and we're going to repurpose it. We're going to retrofit it with this green natural gas as a fuel. There are some things we have to do to integrate it with the gasoline system, but it'll run on natural gas or gasoline or both.
How complex is that retrofitting process?
The way we're doing it is a lot simpler than it used to be. I mean, you see buses, you see garbage trucks and taxi cabs running on natural gas. We found a way to do it a little simpler using the propane style tanks instead of really expensive high pressure tanks. So we're going to do it with this Toyota on the island. And if that'll be our serial number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll figure out a way to make it available to more people. We'll democratize it somehow.
And we keep on calling it green gas. We're actually branding it orange, by the way. Organic Renewable Natural Gas. O-R-N-G.
O-R-N-G.
Right. So, orange gas.
Yes.
Cool.
And it's a cradle-to-cradle process, really, because this is, in the end, you're forming the circular economy here.
So does natural gas, when it's used in an internal combustion engine, emit any kind of negative stuff?
There's water and some CO2, but it's the renewable version of CO2, not the fossil version.
There's a lot of data on replacing gasoline with natural gas is way better for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're way better than that because we're using the orange gas, or mm-hmm. what I was calling green.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of folks fighting the natural gas fracking process.
Right, so we're actually going, so it burns cleaner, it's better for the air, and we're not using fossil fuel gas. So so we're trying to take it one step further.
So it is truly carbon negative.
It is carbon negative, right? Because we're avoiding the rotting of the food in the environment, which is methane production. We're eliminating diesel fuel consumption, and we're displacing fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a fossil fuel.
So some studies are showing negative 200 or 300% on the carbon scale. So it's drastic.
So as a consumer, this is a way people can really make a difference.
Really? This is very exciting. And I want to close with Gib Damon of Zero Waste Vashon, because can you give us a quick update on how you are interacting with King County? What happens next with King County and Zero Waste Vashon?
You bet.
In 30 seconds.
King County is being very receptive to what we are proposing in the way of changing our waste to a resource stream. And indeed, they've been very helpful with the Impact Bioenergies project. They have agreed to cover the costs associated with a feasibility study associated with locating a compost facility on our island. And they're being very open to both community suggestions, which we are about to set up that forum system, mm-hmm. To welcome people in our community to provide inputs. But they're very welcome at this point to define the shape associated with what this community compost facility may be include. And so stay tuned, folks, because we will be probably 3-4 months from now, we will have our first of many meetings associated with trying to incorporate your ideas with where we're headed. We cannot do anything as a community to sell, to change our organic waste, unless we have the facilities on island to be able to do it.
And let's hope someday that Vashon does have its 3 biodigesters. I want to thank you, Jan Allen, and you, Sharup Kumar, from Impact Bioenergy, and of course our own Gib Damon from Zero Waste Vashon. You've been listening to Real Talk. Thanks for tuning in and stay tuned to Voice of Vashon. You never know what you're going to hear next.